In Maseches Gittin, everyone should feel free to please leave whenever they want. I'm going to continue to learn through the whole sugya here in the Gemara to the end.
That's a counts of
our counts.
Get out of here.
It's not counts of our counts. It's not a parable. So let's begin from the bottom of the Gemara in Nehemiah Beis. Six lines from the bottom of the Daf. So the Gemara tells us, our counts of our counts of Rabbi Yerushalayim. The reason why Yerushalayim was destroyed because of the story of Kamsa and Bar Kamsa. Al Tarnagota, because of two chickens, Kar of Tur Malka, the city of Tur Malka, the mountain of the king, was destroyed. Asaka de Rispach, because of the side of a chariot, Kar of Beka, the city of Beka was destroyed because of the side of a chariot. So all these are very cryptic statements, and the Gemara is going to expand upon each one to explain why each one of these particular stories was a reason for those cities to be destroyed. So number one says the Gemara, Arkansa of Yerushalayim. Let's begin with the first story, that because of Kamsa and Arkansa, Yerushalayim was destroyed. What is that story? Dahu Gavra, this is a famous one, there was somebody, the Rachame Kamsa, that his friend was someone by the name of Kamsa, but Baldavavi, his enemy, was someone by the name of Bar Kamsa. So this individual, Otsu, does say he made a party. Doesn't say exactly why he made the party, but he made some sort of gathering. Amalei the Shami, he tells his helper, Zil Isili Kamsa, I want you to invite Kamsa to be one of my guests at the party. By mistake, you know, the helper made a mistake, and he invited the person who was the enemy and not the one who was the friend. Also, Isolate Bar Kamsa, so instead of inviting Kamsa, who was the friend, he invites Bar Kamsa, who was the enemy. Asa Ashkate Dabi Yasef, so now the person who's running the party walks in, and he sees that his enemy is one of the people sitting there. Arle, he says, Mefti, Ahu Gavra, Baldelave, Ahu Gavra, you are my enemy, so what are you doing here? My boy is Hapa. Punpuk, he asks him, please leave. Amarle, so he's going to be very humiliated by having to leave in front of all the other guests. Amarle, so he says, hold on, so once I already came and I'm already sitting at the party, Shapka, just allow me to sit and to remain here. Don't embarrass me publicly. You're not going to lose any money on me. I'm going to pay for all the food that I eat at this party. Amalelo, he says, absolutely not. I'm not going to allow you to stay. You're my enemy. You don't belong here. And he throws him out. Amale, Yahidala, to make Palo de Sudase. It means so much to me that I shouldn't be humiliated publicly in front of everybody else. I want you to allow me to stay, and I will pay you not only for the food that I eat, but I'll pay you also for half of the food that is consumed this evening at this party, which is a lot of money. Amalelo, he says, absolutely not. He wants him to leave. Amale, not only that, I want so much to stay, I don't want to be publicly humiliated. I will be willing to pay for all of the expenses that you're spending on tonight's party. I will pay for it all, as long as you don't embarrass me to make me leave. Amarle, no, he says, absolutely not. Not to be yale, the hukme da'afke. He picks him up, throws him out of the house, and he publicly humiliates him. Now, Shulchan Aruch, in Hilchos Beis HaKnesses, in Kufnun Gimel, Shulchan Aruch talks about the case. We have nowadays a lot of situations where you have somebody gives over their private home in order that people should be able to use it as a shul. So Shulchan Aruch describes such a case. What happens when they had somebody who gave over his house to the rabbin to use it as a Beis HaKnesses? And now, all of a sudden, I see that one of the people using the Beis HaKnesses that happens to be my house is somebody I really don't like, somebody that I never wanted to give my house to. So the Shulchan Aruch says you're not allowed to throw the person out and say, my house is open to everybody to daven except for this person. But the Shulchan Aruch says, if you really don't want that person to die, you're allowed to close down the minyan altogether. You're just not allowed to single out a single person to say that he doesn't belong. It says in the Mishnah Berurah, how do we know such a halacha applies? Where do we learn such a thing? So the Mishnah Berurah writes, we learn it from our Gemara, because here you see how severe it is to bring about the terrible humiliation of one person, to single one person out and say that they are different from everybody else, and they don't have entitlement like everyone else who's assembled. The Shulchan Aruch says we learn from there that the same would apply to the laws of Hilchos Beis HaKnesses. So here the Gemara says, four lines from the top, Amar, he says, since there were many great Talmidei Chachamim who were sitting by the party, and nobody bothered to take my side, nobody bothered to stick up for me, nobody bothered to make sure that I wouldn't be embarrassed, Shmaminah would seem to me that Kanichalu, it would seem to me that all the people who were gathered, who assembled, had no problem with what was done. Ezel, so I'm going to get all back, I'm going to take revenge. Ezel, Echabuhu Kurza, Beimata. I'm going to go tell some Lashon Hara to the king about all those who were assembled at this party. I'm going to get them into big trouble. Also, he goes, Amalei the Caesar, he goes to the Caesar. Mardavak Yudai, and he tells him that the Jews have rebelled. Amalei Miyemar, so the Caesar says they were always faithful citizens, I think they were always good people. Who said that they are rebelling? Amalei, let's do a test. Let's see if I'm right or not. Shaluhu Korbana, I want you to send a korban, a sacrifice, an offering to the Beis HaMikdash. Now, as we know, the Beis HaMikdash accepted offerings not only from Jews, but also from others. Ki Beis HaBeis Pili Yikar Lechal Amin. So the Gemara says, Amalei, he tells him, Shaluhu Korbana, I want you to send an offering, a sacrifice to the Beis HaMikdash. Chazis, and let's test them. Let's see, Imakar Binama. Let's see if they're willing to offer your sacrifice in the Beis HaMikdash. If not, it will show that they have rebelled, that they don't like you. If yes, it shows that they're okay with you. So what did he do? Also, Shavuot Yodei Igla Tilsa. He goes and he sends a very heavy, a very expensive egel, a very expensive calf. Now, some of the Persian explained that maybe he specifically went ahead and sent out the egel because this is also a semblance to the Qurban. Because the very first Qurban, the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, the very first Qurban that the Jewish people experienced was the story of the Chet HaEgel. So here there's some sort of significance to the Egel being sent, because also this was the onset of the Qurban Beis HaMikdash. Now, this person, this Bar Kamsa, who was thrown out of the party, very much wants to destroy the Jewish people because he's so upset with what happened to him. So the Gemara says he goes to the Caesar, he tells him to send an animal with him to the Beis HaMikdash and to see whether or not the Jews are willing to offer his carbon. The Hadi Dekaasi, however, he plays a trick on his way to the Beis HaMikdash, bringing the carbon on behalf of the Caesar, Shadu Ben Muma Ben Nibsef Asai. He decides to make a little mum, a little nick in the lip. Some say maybe it was on the eye, some say it was on the lip. It was a very seemingly inconsequential mum. So if you're a non-Jew and you don't know that all the halachos, all the details of mumin on a carbon, so you don't see anything wrong with it. You think it's a perfect animal. If you're Jewish and you know the halachos, the Kohanim used to simply inspect all the karbanos, everything that came before they offered them to the Beis HaMikdash on his behalf. So they realized that there was a movement. They realized they cannot offer this karban. So he specifically chose Bar Kamsa, such a rasha, he chose to do it on a place that was not noticeable to the human, to the regular eye. It was a place where only a Kohen would notice it. So he makes a dufta lididan ha'mumah. He makes a moon in a place where on the animal we would consider it a moon, and now unfit to be placed on his behalf. Ulididuba, to anyone else in the world, la'mumah. That's not called a defective animal. The animal's fine. Just has a little nick in the lip, has a little nick in the eye, something wrong. So he shows up to the Beis HaMikdash with his karban. He tells them, I'm here on behalf of the Caesar. He sent this karban. He wants you to offer. So the rabbis now have a major dilemma. Because on one hand, how can they offer the karban? It has a moon. Not allowed to offer a karban. That's an issue that arises. On the other hand, how can they not? It's going to be a big problem. So the Gemara says they made this out of this dilemma. They didn't know what to do. The Gemara says they were thinking, maybe we should offer it regardless. Maybe we should go ahead and offer the karban anyway, even though we're going to actively violate the avera of bringing the baal mum on his behalf, because shlomachlus. Because after all, we're going to cause ourselves big trouble if we don't. The Caesar is going to come. He's going to destroy us. He's going to make a pergrom. Now the Magen Avraham points out, you see from here, that we would allow somebody perhaps to violate even an Isser d'Araisa, even a biblical Isser, to save themselves from Shlomachus, to save themselves from some sort of problem with the local officials, with the government. So that's a very important Hiddush that comes out of our Gemara. Amalehu, so they don't know what to do. Amalehu is talking about Kulis. Talking about Kulis says, not a good idea. We cannot allow such a carbon, which is unfit as a carbon, we cannot allow it to be brought to his behalf. His young Rabbi Yehudah, the innocent bystander who's watching what's going on, is going to say that you're allowed to bring a Baal Mum onto the Mizbeah. And we certainly know that that is not the case. You're not allowed to. So the Gemara says, back to the dilemma. Sar Lamikla. So they decided maybe we should go ahead and kill Bar Kamsa. This way the message will never get back to the Caesar. He won't hear back from the messenger. He'll assume that the carbon was brought and nothing to worry about. To Lalezer Lalema, let's kill him, this way he won't go back and deliver the message that we didn't offer the carbon. Arvalehu Rabbi Zechariah, so again, Rabbi Zechariah ben Arkula stands up and he says, that's not a good idea. Younger people are going to say, Matul Mum B'Kachem Yehari. People are going to say that if you make a mum, if you deliberately make a mum in a carbon, you deserve the death penalty, and that certainly is not true. Nowhere in Chumash does it say such a thing. So that's why Rabbi Zechariah was not fond of that idea either. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, so Rabbi Yochanan commented about Rabbi Zechariah ben Arkulas that Amdus Hanuso, Sher Rabbi Zechariah ben Arkulas had Rifa as Beisenu, Besarfa as Echaleinu, Beisenu Me Arzenu. Unfortunately, sometimes people misuse their Anava. Yes, anava is a very important, humility is a very important virtue, but at the same time, there are times when we need to stand up, when we need to realize what position we have, and that the whole future of the Jewish people might be riding on us. It's something to take very seriously. And Rabbi Yochanan says, because Rabbi Zechariah misjudged, misunderstood what his power was and how much he was going to be responsible for what was going to be the outcome of his decision for this dilemma, that is why the Beis HaMikdash was in turn destroyed. When you think about it from a Musar perspective a little bit, you think about sometimes we also think down on ourselves, we don't realize how much power, how much koach we actually have, if we would only pay attention to how much we are in control and how much we would be able to fix the problems that are in the world, perhaps we can also bring about so much good, and we would also be able to prevent so many horrors from taking place. If you just think about the Kohat HaTfilah, we learned in this week's Parsha, Moshe Rabbeinu, about Stan Al Hashem, and you see that the Kohat HaTfilah is incredible. It's not the time to talk about it now, but Kohat HaTfilah is something that we don't take seriously enough. Tfilah in general is something that we don't take seriously enough. But if we would just realize how much power is latent inside of us to be able to step up and throw away the anava, so to speak, every once in a while, perhaps we would also be able to save ourselves and our communities from having a, so to speak, Churban Beis HaMikdash on our own. So the Gemara says, Shadar Yavayu Leniram Kesar. So the Caesar finds out that this carbon was not offered, and he takes that as an offense, and he says, obviously the Jews have rebelled. Shadar Yavayu Leniram Kesar. So he sends one of his officials, Nero Kesar, to come and deal with the Jews. Kika Asi Nero, when Nero was on his way, Shadar Gira Mizrach, he throws out a, Gira is a, arrow to the Mizrach, to the east, Asa Nafab Yerushalayim, and it falls in the direction of Yerushalayim. Throws up another arrow to the west, Asa Nafab Yerushalayim, once again, it falls in the direction of Yerushalayim. La'abar Ruchus HaShamayim, every time he's throwing up an arrow into the sky, Nafab Yerushalayim, it falls in the direction of Yerushalayim. He takes that as a sign that obviously God wants him to go and destroy Yerushalayim. Our Lady Yukas then happens to pass by a young child who's learning Chumash. So he tells him, I see you learning Tanakh, I want you to tell me, which pasuk are you up to? Amarlei, the child says to him, I'm up to the pasuk in Yecheskel, and Asati es nikmasi be'edom, b'yad ami Yisrael. I'm going to take revenge against the nation of Edom, because they threw a hand against the Jewish people. Amar, so Nero says to himself, Kutsha b'richu b'yadah rubei b'esei, God wants to destroy his Beis HaMikdash. Ubari l'churi yadei b'ahu gavar, and he wants to wash his hands, so to speak. On me? He wants to take out the revenge on me? Let him do the job. I don't want to do it for him. I don't want to be punished for this. So he took that as such a message from his young child, who told him that that was the pasuk he happened to be learning, and Arak, he ran away to Uzzah, the guy who became a convert, Benafek Minei Rameir. And ultimately, he had the great merit of Rameir, the great Tana, came from him. So now Caesar realizes that the first messenger that he sent was not successful because he gave up on the job before he started. Shadre Yavai Las Pesainas Kesar. So now he decides to send the famous or infamous Vespasian to go and destroy Yerushalayim. Also, Sarolei Tlashni. So Vespasian makes a siege on Yerushalayim for 3 years. Havahan Flasi Asiri. There were 3 wealthy people, Jews in Yerushalayim, who said that they were going to take it upon themselves to sustain the Jewish people, even though they were in a siege, even though they were not able to have any commerce, anything come in or go out. These 3 big wealthy individuals. And Yerushalayim said, we're going to be able to sustain everybody, there's nothing to be concerned about. Who were the 3 people? Number one, the first person was Nakdimon ben Gurion, second one was ben Kabla Savua, and the third one was ben Tzitzis HaKesis. Says the Gemara, why is his name Nakdimon ben Gurion? Shenata lo chala ba'avura. Because one time there was a story that Gemara said, time is not to test, that Nakdimon ben Gurion once borrowed money from someone, he told him he would have it back by a certain time, by a certain date, and the date was coming and he did not yet have the money. And the Gemara says that Nakdimon was such a tzaddik that the son stayed out for him in order that he would have extra time to be able to pay back the loan that the next day should not yet come. So that's why his name was Nakdimon ben Gurion Shenakta. It's a play on words. It's because the son stood in its place because of him. Then the Gemara says ben Kabbalah was the second of these wealthy individuals. Why was his name ben Kabbalah Bush? Because this was the basic Shura of Kekelev. Anyone who came to his home and was hungry, like a dog is hungry, Yotze Kishu Saveh, the person was so much taken care of, they left when they were very full. They were very well taken care of. Ben Tzitzis HaKesis, why was that his name? Shehaisa Tzitziso Nimeres Adali Kistos, because his tzitzis that he wore, his bag of tzitzis, used to drag on the floor on kistos, meaning on the fancy carpets of Yerushalayim. So the Beis Yosef in Aruch Chaim in the tzitzis quotes Gemara, and he talks about whether or not a person who has a long garment that's going to drag on the floor, should tzitzis be put on that or not, or should we assume that that's considered to be a bezayim to the tzitzis that they should drag on the floor? So it's a major discussion, and the Beis Yosef points out, it's even from our Gemara, that it would be permissible. After all, his name was Ben Tzitzis HaKesses, because his tzitzis were dragging on the floor. Then Beis Yosef writes, maybe it's not proper, maybe it's not correct, and the whole Gemara is discussing over here, he used to have very fancy rugs on the ground, so that wasn't a bezayim to his tzitzis. It's not like they got dirty. He wasn't letting them drag in the mud. But for anybody else who's going to have the tzitzis drag in the mud, that's something that we would consider to be a bezayim on mitzvah, that's something we should not do. So that was why his name was Ben Tzitzis HaKesses. Ikidiyami, some say the reason why his name was Ben Tzitzis HaKesses was not because of his tzitzis, but rather Shoyse Kisto, because his seat, his chair, was Mutelis Ben Joli Rami. He was a big politician, everybody knew him, very famous person. So these three individuals said that they were going to sustain the Jewish people, even though Vespasian came along and lay a siege on Yerushalayim. These three individuals came and said they are able to take upon themselves to support the Jewish people during the siege for 3 years. That's how wealthy they were. Chal Amar Lehu, one said, Ana Zayni Lehu Lechiti Bisari. One said, I will take care of the Jewish people, I will provide all of the wheat and barley necessary for them for the next 3 years. That's how much he had. V'chal Amar Lehu, and one stepped up and said, I will provide the chamar, which is the wine, the milta is the salt, and the mishnah is the oil, I will take care of all that for the next 3 years. V'chal Amar Lehu, and one stepped up and said, V'nitzivi, I will provide the wood that is necessary for the Jews for the next 3 years. V'shalchu Rabbanam l'nitzivi. And the Rabbanam, the rabbi, said that yes, all of them were very nice for stepping up and giving up their money, all of them were very dedicated to the Jewish people, but the one who deserved the most praise out of all of them is the one who decided to give of his wood. Because wood at that time was a very important staple of life that they needed. That was the only way they cooked, that was the way they had everything made, that was the way they eat. And therefore, the Chachamim assumed that the person who was willing to give the wood was the most praiseworthy of all of them. I remember when my father got a haskama for one of his sarim from Pinchas Hirschberg. Anyone ever heard of him? He was a tremendous genius, an unbelievable bucky in Shas. They say he was able to do the pin test. People watched him. They just put a pin into a dot. They told him where it was. He knew what word it was on that side, on the other side. Unbelievable stories about him. So when he wrote a haskama to my father's first sefer, he wrote, Shalchu Rabbana L'Detzivi. Now nobody really knew what he was quoting or what he was talking about, but since he was a bucky in Shas, it came to his mind right away. It was a play on the words. My father's name is Tzvi. So he was saying, Shalchu Rabbana L'Detzivi. The best of them all is the Tzvi, is the deer. But that's not really what the Gemara is referring to. It was his play on the words. So that's what the Gemara is over here. So the Rabbanan said that he who's willing to put up the wood to sustain the Jewish people with that, that's considered the greatest amount of tzedakah, more so than anything else. The Rav Chisda, because Rav Chisda kalak lidi ha-mimasa l'shamei barmi d'tzivi, Rav Chisda used to give all of the keys to his helpers in his house, except for the keys to the storage house that held the wood, because that was very dear to him, that was very important. Because for every one storage house of wheat or barley, you need 60 storage houses of wood, because you need enough wood to be able to cook and to bake all of the things that you want to do. So the Gemara said they had enough wood and barley and salt and wine and oil for 21 years. Unbelievable. 21 years. So, there's nothing to be concerned about. We could be in a siege in Yerushalayim, we have a wall around us, nothing to be nervous about. We'll be able to be fine for 21 years. By that time, probably someone's going to die, something's going to go wrong, and the siege will be over. So the Gemara says, but of course there were some, unfortunately, there were some zealots who were in Yerushalayim, and they were wild people, and they said, the rabbis came to the zealots and said, we think that we should go and make peace with the Romans, because after all, they're keeping us in a siege, we're not going to win. Lo shavkinu. So these zealots, these group of wild people, would not allow the rabbis to leave Yerushalayim to go and discuss a peace treaty with the Romans. Amar lehu nefek v'nevek kiruv adayi. They said, no, we're not going to go down easy, we're not just going to make a peace agreement and give in, we're going to make a fight. Amar lehu rabbanan lo mistayi milsa. We're not going to be able to win them. The Romans are the very big, powerful army. How will we have a chance in winning against them? Kalu, so the zealots decided, The only way to get the Jewish people to be forced into fighting a battle and not relying on everything they have or trying to make peace is if they burn down all of the storage houses that they are relying on. So Amu, the Jewish people went, Kalinu, Lahani, Amri, Nechiti, Asari, Lahanika. So they decided to go ahead and burn down all of the storage houses that were holding all the wheat and all the barley, and now there was a famine. Now the Jewish people were not able to eat, they had nothing left. Marsa Bas Baisas, so the Gemara says there was a woman by the name of Marsa Bas Baisas, who was Asiras of Yerushalayim. She was the wealthiest woman in Yerushalayim. Hadishakas of the Shlucha, so she sends out her messenger to go buy some food for her. But Amalin, she tells him, Zil Isidi Smida, I want you to go buy me some fine flour from the market. Adalza, by the time he went, his davar was already sold out. Why? Because as we just read, they had burned down all the storage houses, so there was nothing left in the market anymore, there was no food. Asam Arlah, he said, he came back to the woman and he said, Smida, like there was no fine flour. Amalin, you were telling there is white bread on the market. Amalin, so she says to Zil Isidi, go quickly to the market and buy that bread before it gets sold out. Adalaza, by the time he went, his davar was also sold out already. Why? Because there was a famine, so there's nothing left. Asav Amar Lach, Yurtalaka, there's no white bread anymore. Gushkarayka, there's some coarse bread there. Amar Lach, Zil Isidi, go quickly and get me some of that bread. Adalaza, by the time he went, his davar was already sold out. Asav Amar Lach, Gushkarayka, so now he comes back and he says there's no coarse bread anymore. But Kincha de Sarayka, there's barley bread that is available on the market. Amar Lach, Zil Isidi, go quickly and get me that bread. Adalaza, by the time he went, his davar was already sold out. Hamashtika Masala, so she's getting so frustrated with her messenger that it can't figure out that he's supposed to get her whatever's there, she started putting on her shoes. And she said, Amra, Eifut Le'exi, Imashak, Mimidu Le'ekel, let me go out myself, can't rely on this messenger anymore, let me go out myself and see if I can find anything to eat. Esiv La, Parsa, Bekara, Umesa. So the Gemara says that while she was putting on her shoes, there was some excrement, some dung that was on the floor, and it got stuck on her shoe, and she died. Why? Because she was a very wealthy woman, she wasn't used to ever having something a little bit unfit being on her body, and right away when she had that experience, she died right away. Kara Allah Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai bemoaned about her, Haraka Bacha, Laha Nuga, Asher Lo Nitzah Kafraka. Unfortunately, this woman was such a mufunekas, she was so, I don't know how to get in English, finicky, is that the right word? Spoiled, that she couldn't even handle when something bad happened to her. It wasn't such a big deal, but still she lost her life. Ikadiyami, some say that she didn't step on excrement, but rather Grover's trail tethered Akhla is Deniso Mesa. She actually went out to the street, she went out to the market, and she was looking for something to eat, and she found a dried up fig that belonged to her tethered, and from that she died. So what does that mean? She found a dried up fig that belonged to her tethered, and then she died. What are those figs in her tethered? So the Gemara says a remarkable story. Rab Tzadok was so pained by the fact that he heard there was going to be a destruction of Yerushalayim, he sat and he fasted for 40 years straight that Yerushalayim should not be destroyed. He became so weak from the 40 years of fasting that every time he would go ahead and eat something, you were able to see it going directly through his body. That's how emaciated he was. Unfortunately, we have pictures of this from the times of the Holocaust. The people afterward in the DP camp, they were trying to feed them, and you could see that the food was going through the system. It was a terrible, terrible time. So that's where Tzedek was as well. The reason he was so weak is because he was fasting that there shouldn't be a Korban Yerushalayim. Yechiyahu Bari, so once he got better and they were trying to get him back to his health, Maisa de Grover. So if you weren't able to feed him real food, the same way in the DP camp, they weren't able to feed people real food after starving for so long. So over here, the doctors came along, they gave him dates, and they told him he should suck out the moisture from the dates. Mighty eye, he would suck it out, the shabbiru, and then he'd throw everything that he sucked out, he'd throw it into the street. Kihana Kamicha, so she went ahead and saw those sucked out dates by her tzaddik, and she died from eating those. Kihana Kamicha, now shown this very famous and wealthy woman, Marsa Bas Baisas, was dying. She took her wallet with all the gold and the silver. Shadisa the Shuka, and she threw it out into the street. Amra, and she said, Hi, Lahani Bari, what is this going to do for me? What good is it? All the money in the world. Lahani Nasiv, Kaspam Mahutzas Yashniku. That's what Navi Yecheskel tells us, that there was a time when money was being thrown in the streets. Why? Because when you're living at a time of such terrible oppression, and there's no food to eat, and there's nothing that you can possibly acquire, what is money going to help you? And that's what happened to this woman as well. She lost her life, even though she had plenty of money, but she was not able to take care of herself. Abba Sikra, so the Gemara says, again, back to the story where we started, we have a major disagreement going on. Yerushalayim is under siege, and there's a major disagreement. The Rabbanim want that they should go and make some sort of peace deal. The Bar Yonim, the wild zealots, say, no, we're going to go fight them. We're going to fight till the end. We're not going to go down easy. So the problem was, they couldn't get anywhere. The zealots went ahead, burned down all of these surrounds. There was no food left. Now the Jewish people are dying from hunger. So the Gemara says, Abba Sikra, Reishvar, Yudhi Yerushalayim. There was a man by the name of Abba Sikra, who was the head of this group of zealots who lived in Yerushalayim, who had caused the whole problem. He also happened to be Bar Achdeger of Yochanan ben Zakkai Ali. Very interesting. He was the nephew of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was the leader of the Jewish people at the time, and his arch enemy was his own nephew. So the Gemara says, Shalach Lei, so he sends him a message to his uncle, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, and he tells him, I want you to come privately to me. We're going to have a private meeting. Why do you have to come privately? Why do you have to come privately? Because he knew that if the Bar Yonim, if his own followers find out that he's meeting with the opposition, they're going to kill him. They're going to kill him. They're not going to kill Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. They're going to kill him because he's giving it. Also, so Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai sneaks into his nephew's office. Amalei, Arei Masadu Tuhaki. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai starts yelling at his nephew. He says, how long are you going to act like this? The Kabisa to the Allah of the Kafan. You're destroying the Jewish people. You're making everyone die from hunger. Amalei Mayyad. What do you want me to do? The Amina Lumidi. If I now back down and tell my soldiers to let everybody through, come to me. They're going to kill me. They're going to say, what kind of leader are you? Amalei Chazimi Takanta Lumidi. The Epoch. Allow me, says the Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, figure out a way for me to get out of these walls, to get out of the siege of Yerushalayim. Maybe I will be able to bring about some sort of redemption, some sort of savior for this terrible situation I'm in. Amalei, so his nephew tells him, you should do the following. Narko Napsha Chavik Tziri, I want you to make pretend that you're sick. And hang up Hashem Yilin all over Yerushalayim, let everybody know that you're sick. And Velesi Kuliyam with the Shalabah. Of course, everyone hears, they see the signs outside that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is not feeling well. So they say, everyone should come visit. The great Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is sick. So they say, and the whole thing, meanwhile, is a fake. You're really not sick, you're just playing along. He says, we want you to make it like you're so sick, you should bring something spoiled milk, put it out right next to your bed, and this way everybody will think that you've actually died. Because we know, unfortunately, a person who loses life is not able to have the same smell as a living being. So everybody's going to assume, but the language did not nacho. Everyone's going to assume that you died. Now, the only ones who are going to be eating on the secret that the whole thing is a fake are going to be your Talmid. And, as we know, for anyone who's ever been involved in the Levaya, when you're carrying a dead body, it's much heavier than carrying a live body. Live weight is much lighter than dead weight. So the Gemara says in a year, since only the Talmidim were eating on the secret, they didn't want everyone to find out. So they said, don't allow anyone else to carry your bed, only the students, because only the students know that you're supposed to have your own enough. So the Gemara says, I don't want anyone to find out the secret that you're much lighter than a dead body is supposed to be. Everybody knows that a live person is much lighter, much easier to carry than somebody who's dead. Abba, that's what they did. Hang up the signs. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai announces that he's sick. Everybody in the town comes to visit him, and they put the spoiled milk next to his bed, and everybody assumes that he's dead. I don't know why nobody noticed that he was breathing, but okay, everybody assumes that he was dead. Nechaz bo Rabbi Eliezer Tzadachar Rabbi Shimon Tzadachar. So he has two students who are very close with him, and they go and they carry his bed, they hang up signs that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai has died, and they carry him out of Yerushalayim. Kimatu l'pistam, and they get to the gates, the walls of Yerushalayim. So by the mikre, so the Bar Yonim, the wild zealots, the Jewish zealots who were there guarding that nobody should leave, they wanted to go and stab the box. They wanted to stab the coffin. Why? Because they didn't believe that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai really died. They thought maybe there's something, there's a ploy here. Amar Lahu, so the Talmidim said, Yomru, Rabbi Dakru, how can we go ahead and stab the box, the coffin that our Rebbe is in? The Romans, when we get to the other side, are going to say, look, they don't even respect their own rabbi. Look, they stabbed this coffin. So the Gemara says, why is it in the face? They said, you know what? We're not going to stab it. That's how we push it around very ferociously. This way, if he's really alive, there's no way that he's going to quiet while we do that. When we get to the other side, they're going to say, we heard that you were pushing around the rabbi. That's the way to treat him. So nowadays, that is the way to treat him, but it wasn't the way to treat him then. Postulates, the Gemara says, They had no option, possibly, about it. So they opened up the door, they let them out with the coffin. Nafak, so they went out. So the trick worked. So the Gemara says, Kimatu lahasam, when they got to the other side. So this is what they've been waiting to do. Again, let's not forget where we started. The Gemara says that Vespasian puts a siege around Yerushalayim. There's an internal fight in the Jewish people. Some want to fight, and some want to just give in. Some want to make a peace treaty. Some want to make a deal. So the Gemara says they wouldn't allow anyone to go out to even discuss a deal. Finally, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai has this idea. Him and his nephew come up with the plan. He figures out how to sneak out, goes outside of the wall. Now, he finally has a meeting with Vespasian, with the man himself who is having the siege on Yerushalayim. Amar, so Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai jumps out of the coffin and he says to Vespasian, Shalom Aleich Malka, Shalom Aleich Malka. He says, Shalom Aleichem to you, King. He greets the king. Amalei Machaydus Treikta. So Vespasian responds to him, he says, you deserve to be killed on two counts. Number one, Chalad Aleich Malka Anna. Number one, I'm just Vespasian, I am not the Caesar. So from the fact that you were so disrespectful to the Caesar and you're calling one of his servants the king, that's already a reason alone that it should take your life. And number two, you claim and you think that I'm in such high regard and you think that I am the Melech, I am the king. If I really am that special in your eyes, how come you waited so long? You've been under siege for so long. And now all of a sudden you decide it's finally time to come out and talk to me? What happened all along? Why didn't you come talk to me earlier? They say from the Bardichev, a beautiful insight, that when he came to Yom Noraim, when he got to HaMelech, you know, in the dominant chakras, he used to cry uncontrollably. And they asked him, what are you crying about when you say HaMelech? That's not the highlight of the dominant on Kippur, on Rosh Hashanah. So he said, no, because the Ribbono Shel Olam is going to say, if you're calling me HaMelech, if you're calling me the king, how come you ignored me up until this point? If you think I'm so special, you're calling me this unbelievable appellation of HaMelech, so where were you until now? How come you ignored me all year long? All of a sudden, Rosh Hashanah and Kippur, you wake up and you say, oh, HaMelech, what do you mean HaMelech? Says Ibn Yitzchak, the Ribbono Shel Olam is going to punish us for ignoring him all this time, the same way Vespasian was upset that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai wouldn't come and speak to him up until this point. So now Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai has to respond. How's he going to respond? Again, Vespasian is upset. Number one, why are you calling me the king? I'm not the king. There's somebody on top of me, the Caesar. Number two, he says, if you believe that I'm so powerful that I'm the king, ad hashto, amayel asus legavai, how come you haven't come to discuss with me up until this point? Amalei, so he answers in his heart. Dika amrit, just that you said, la malka no, that you said, not the king. Ivra malka, by the way, I want you to know, good news is coming, you are the king, because the Caesar has died. Di la malka, because if you were not a king, if you were not very powerful and important, lo nimsiro Yerushalayim v'yadeh, God would never allow Yerushalayim to be given over in your hands. Tetziv, v'halavaron v'adir yipol. Yes, there are times when Yerushalayim has to be destroyed. There are times when the Jewish people are not acting the way they should, and God has to bring someone to take it away from them, but at least we have the dignity of Yerushalayim that it's not going to be taken just by some little rebel, some fighters. Yerushalayim is only going to fall, ba'adir yipol, it's only going to fall in the hands of somebody who's very mighty, who's very powerful. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says, from the fact that God is allowing you to be the one to destroy Yerushalayim, to take it away from us, it must be that you in fact are the king, that you really are much more powerful than you think. So the Gemara says, Ve'en adira, melech tetziv ha'ya adira mimenu, ve'en abamana al-beis hamikdash, shenemar ha'har ha'tel hazev ha'alam. So the Yerushalayim and the Beis Hamikdash are only going to be destroyed by somebody who is very powerful, by someone who has a very important position. So that's answer number one. Why I called you the king is because you really must be the king. Udekamer number two, imalta ana amaylo kasis legabaya ha'idna. If you say I'm the king, how come you haven't showed up until this point? So he says to him, look, you don't know what's going on the other side of the walls, but we're having major internal civil war going on. Our baryuni ispan lo shakiran. We have these rebels, we have these people inside the walls who aren't allowing us to go out and have a discussion with you. Amalei, so Vespasian says, I'm not going to buy that. That's not a good excuse. Ilu chavish shal dvash v'dakra karachaleha. Imagine if you would have a big jug full of honey, and you have a snake that's wrapped all around it. Lo yishoker v'safadis b'shvil hadarko. Would you not have broken the barrel in order to get rid of the snake? You're afraid of the snake. The only way to get rid of it is to break the barrel that the snake is around. So some of you should have broken down the walls of Yerushalayim. Yeah. The Baryonim, these rebels are guarding the entrance, the gate to Yerushalayim, but why don't you make a hole in the wall somewhere else and jump out? Ishti, so Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was stumped. He did not respond to Vespasian. Kari alei Rabbi Yosef yitem Rabbi Kiva. When they heard about the story, they said, Meishiv chachamim achar v'daitem yisachel. What a foolish thing that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai wasn't able to think straight and wasn't able to respond to this basic. What should he have responded? He should have said, we would have taken sticks if we had this situation where you have a snake wrapped around the barrel of honey. So we would have taken the stick, the sharklina lay the darkro, we would have killed the snake, the kablina lay, the chavisa sharkila, we would have allowed the barrel of honey to remain. So that's what we would have done here as well. We didn't want to destroy the walls itself, we were trying to destroy the baryunim, these rebels who lived inside of Yerushalayim. Adhabi, as this was going on, as they were having this conversation, keep this space in and Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, Asi Pristika Alei Nimoni. All of a sudden, an urgent message comes from Rome. Amaleikum, the messenger comes out and tells the space to get up to miss the Kesa because the Caesar has died. The Ami Hani Hashir, the Rabbi, they had a committee meeting and they decided, La Osla Beresha, that you, the space are now going to be voted in as the new Caesar. So come with me, we're going to bring you back to Rome now because you are in charge. Exactly as Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai had professed, had told them that this is what was going to happen. Havisayim Chavisani, so Vespasian was putting on one of his shoes. Boyan Vesayim Lachrin, he wanted to put on the other one. Lo Ayo, but it wasn't going on. Boyan Mishlachon Leida, he wanted to take off the shoe that was already on. Lo Nafak, he wasn't able to get it off. Amar, hi, hi. He turns to Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, he says to him, I don't understand, how come my shoes aren't fitting anymore? Amar, then he says, Lo Tistar, don't feel bad, it doesn't mean anything bad happened to you. Shmua Tova Asilah, it's because good news has come to you. The Seer, the Pasuk says in Mishlei, Shmua Tova Tadashinatan. When a person hears something good, when a person is happy, so they have a little bit of a fatter body. They are Tadashinatan. They're full a little bit more. And that's why, since you've heard this wonderful news, now your shoes don't feel anymore because you have heard good news and you're very excited about it. Aralei Maita Kate, so he says to him, so what should I do? I'm stuck. I want you on, I want you off. I look like a fool. So he says, Lay say Aish Jalom Yasmanaita, hey, you should bring somebody who you have enough to like. The lift come up and put him in front of you, somebody you really can't stand, that's it. The Ruach Mechal Tiyadesh Gar, and when you have somebody who you don't like and your spirit is down, then your body's gonna be down a little bit. We see this happen. Somebody who's depressed, so they look smaller. Not just that in their mind is something wrong, but their body physically looks different as well. And somebody who's feeling well, somebody who's happy, and somebody who's wealthy, and somebody who has a lot going for them. So often you're gonna see them and they look very different physically as well. So that's what happened over here. Abba Hafi, this is what he did. He followed the advice of Rabbi Zakkai, and he brings somebody who he hates, who he absolutely despises, and he brings somebody there. Ayel puts him in front of him. He says, now it worked, and he was able to get his shoes out. Okay, got past that hurdle. So the Gemara says, he says to Rabbi Zakkai, you're such a genius. Look, you know the answers to everything. I understand that you're so smart. How come you couldn't figure out a way to get to me earlier? You're sitting and destroying yourself in Yerushalayim. Why don't you come speak to me earlier? I don't understand. Didn't we just have this conversation a few minutes ago and I told you? Because we have people in Yerushalayim who wouldn't allow me. I also asked you, well, you could have had some sort of fight with them. You could have figured out how to get out regardless. The Spacian says, I'm sorry, I gotta go. Now I'm the one in charge of Rome. I am now the emperor, I'm now the Caesar. I'm gonna send someone else to deal with this problem with the Jews. I have bigger things to deal with. I'm gonna send someone in my place to come destroy Yerushalayim. So he says to Rabbi Zakkai, before I take leave, ask me for anything, I'll be happy to give you. Amar Lei, so Rabbi Zakkai asks him the following. Number one, he says, I want you to give me the city of Yavne, the Chachamel, and allow its great company of Chachamel to be kept alive. Don't destroy them. Number two, he says, Shushalisa de Rav Gamliel, I want you to keep alive the family, the very prestigious family of Rav Gamliel, who are all a family of Messiah, of great leaders. I want you to keep them alive, don't destroy them. Number three, he says, Asmasa de Messiah on Rav Tzadok. I want you to send the doctor who's going to be able to help cure Rav Tzadok. As we said on the top before, Rav Tzadok fasted 40 years, and now he was very sick, he was emaciated. So he says, I want you to send somebody who's able to cure Rav Tzadok because of all the fasting. Karya de Rav Yosef, he came over to Kiva, they commented about Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai, Meshiv Chacham and Achar Vedai to Yisrael. What kind of foolish thing is that to say to Vespasian? Here Vespasian tells you, anything you ask me, I'll give you. And you ask him for such inconsequential things? This is what you waste the request on. He asked him to send a doctor for a tzedek. He asked him to keep alive the family of Gamliel. Barley Lamar, L'shakiru chazina. You should have said to him, leave us alone. Don't destroy the Jewish people at all. What are you asking for these petty little requests? Ask him for the big thing. Ask him that he should destroy the Hamikdash. But who saw the Rebbe when Zachary had in mind? Why did he not ask for that? He was afraid if he's going to ask for such a big request, not to destroy Yerushalayim, not to destroy the Hamikdash, then Vespasian would not honor such a big request. He would walk away empty-handed and get nothing out of this conversation with Vespasian, and therefore he felt at least I should have the opportunity to ask him for something. So he asked him for, number one, they should have Yavin of Chachamim kept alive. Number two, they should have the family of Rabbi Gamliel kept alive. And number three, he should send a professional, a doctor, to Rav Tzadok to take care of him. Seventh, you are Asasim the son of the Rav Tzadok Mayim. What's the story of the doctor? How did the doctor make Rav Tzadok feel better? You have come on the first day that he came to deal with Rav Tzadok, Ashiyo Amai the Pari. He serves him water that had bran soaked in it. The mafra the next day he comes around and he gives him Maya and Sikuka. He gives him a different kind of water. The Maya, the Mafra Maya Kimcha, Adirava Maya, Porta Porta. Until giving him a little bit at a time, he was able to once again make him healthy and make him into somebody that was being able to function once again. So the Gemara says, the story continues. Again, everyone should feel comfortable. They have to leave. Don't worry. Happy talking to the walls. So the Gemara says, so Vespasian goes ahead and on to become the emperor. He's now the Caesar. So he sends somebody else to deal with the problem of Yerushalayim. Avol shaver l'Titus. So he sends Titus HaRasha along, the infamous Titus, to go and deal with the Beis HaMikdash. Amar, hey Elohim, let's serve us how he goes. And Titus HaRasha, Shefir v'gidat patimara. Titus HaRasha did the most unimaginable things that somebody could ever do in the Beis HaMikdash. What was it that he did? Ma'asa, tapas zona liyadu. Titus walks into the Beis HaMikdash in defiance with a zona, with a prostitute. He walks into the Beis HaMikdash, v'nichnas the Beis Kasher HaKadoshim, he walks into the holiest place of the Beis HaMikdash, v'yitzias the Sefer Torah. He lays out a Sefer Torah on the floor. And he goes and he has a relationship with this woman on the Sefer Torah in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The Nachal Sayyid, the Gidur of Parotas, then he takes a sword and he sticks it into the Parotas, so to speak, the spear to kill God himself. The Nasadeis, and a miracle happened by Adam, the Nasadeis, the Yose. There was blood that was coming out from the Parotas once Titus went ahead and speared it. The Kasavar and Titus thought, Harak is Asma. The play on the words, Asma doesn't mean himself. Asma means he thought that he killed God himself. Shenemar, Shavu Sarem of the Karam of Defa, Samu Osa Sam Osa. Rav Asher Weissman told me that here the Gemara says, Kasavar Harak is Asma. Titus thought that he killed the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's the way to say God is to say Asma. You say, I thought I killed myself, it really means I thought I killed God. So Rav Asher Weissman told me perhaps that's what it means in Haggadah Shel Pesach also. The Fisha Hosea is Asma and Akal covered the eager. It's very hard to understand what's the difference between the Chacham and the Rasha. They say almost the same, almost identical phrases. So maybe the answer is the Fisha Hosea is Asma and Akal because he takes Asma, like our Gemara says, because he takes God out of the equation. That's why he's considered a Rasha. That's why he's a covered the eager, maybe based on our Gemara here. Sadly, the Gemara, two words from the end of the line, Alechan and Omer, Mikamah Bathasaka. Mi kamocha, who is like you, God, chasin, v'kadosh, v'kashav, sh'ato shamem, yutzu, yidufo, shalosa, rosh, v'shosei. Who is like you, God, that you just allow people to enter into your palace and destroy the Yisamikdash, and you're quiet, and you don't do anything? Dever v'shmal tamer v'shmalar, mi kamocha v'ein l'ashem, mi kamocha v'alamim. Who is like you, God, who's like an elain, who's like a mute, who doesn't speak when things like this, when atrocities like this take place in your own palace, in your own Yisamikdash? Ma'asa, what did Titus do? Nachlos HaParotas, he takes the Parotas Vasau Kimin Garbuski, he makes it into a basket, into a sack. Behedi Kalkeinu Shev Migdash Mihim Lab. So he takes the Parotas and he puts all the Kalkeinu of Beis HaMikdash into this makeshift basket that he made out of the Parotas. So Shiva Meskina, he now takes all of them to the port, he brings it onto the ship. Leilet L'Shaveh Beir, he wants to take back the rope to show everybody how successful he was in destroying Yerushalayim and destroying the Beis HaMikdash. So no greater way to show his success than by bringing the menorah and the shulchan and the mizbeach and all the wonderful caleb that he was able to take from the Beis HaMikdash and Emor. But the chayyur isi yusham kibur ubo umimikom kodesh yalehu. Vayishtaku ba'ir ashakein asu. Atikri kivurim ela kibbutzim. And he took everything and made it into a kibbutza, into a pile. Atikri vayishtaku ela vayishtaku. Not that they were forgotten, but rather that he took it and he was mishabeach. He was praising himself by walking around in Rome with all of the kelim that he took from the Beis Hamikdash. Ika the Yami, some say kivurim amish, that the pasuk is to be read literally, and it means that afilu miziki b'matra, even those kelim that were hidden under the ground, he was able to uncover them, and he stole them as well. So, he's going on his boat, and he's traveling back to Rome to show everybody how successful he was. Amad alav nachshav. Suddenly, there's an unbelievable tornado, Shebiyam Latovo, and the tornado is about to drown him and his boat and all the kelim. Amar, he says to himself, Kedumah mi, it seems to me, it seems to me that God of the Jews only has power with water. He doesn't have power outside of the water. How do I know this? Because Bob Paro, God has some sort of issue with power of Mitzrayim. Top of the mind, the only way he was able to punish him was by drowning in the water. But Sisera comes along to destroy the Jewish people as well. Top of the mind. It seems that God only has power in the water. And that's why, when I'm on my boat on my way back to Rome, the only thing God could do to punish me is to destroy my boat, because that's the only power that he has. In deeper mood, God is really so powerful. Let him fight a real fight. Let him come up to the dry land. Let him fight with me the way he's supposed to. Don't just stay out the easy way and try to drown me in the water the same way you drown power while it was drying. Yavsa Basko Amrlo Basko came out from Shemayim and said to him, Rasha ben Benosha Esav Arasha. You are a Rasha, the son of a Rasha, who is from the family of Esav Arasha. Beri Akala Yeshli Bogolami. I have a small creature in the world. Vihitush Shema. It is called a gnat, a small fly. Amai Karila Beri Akala. Why is it called such a small and light animal? The creature? Dimalama Isla, because it has a mouth, and a fakna lesma, it has no way of letting anything out of its body once it goes in. Ugly Abasha, you come up, Aleli Abasha, you, Titus, come up to the Abasha, yeah, you think God has no power outside of the water? You come up onto the dry land of the Taseh, Imam Lachama, I'm not going to start with you, but I'll send my little gnat, my smallest creature, to go and destroy your life. Ugly Abasha, so Titus in defiance comes up to the dry land. And he wants to test God. He wants to see, yeah, God, you're really going to punish me? But Yitush, all of a sudden, a small fly, a small gnat, comes his way. The Nichnas Pachoko, it enters into his nose. V'nakar b'mofo sheva shana. So here he is, he has a headache. 7 years, he has this fly knocking around inside of his head, making him crazy. So the Gemara says, Yumachat, 7 years pass, and he has this never-ending headache. So one fine day, Titus is walking down the block, having a chalik hababa de ben afta. He walks by the home of a blacksmith. Shama calls afta, and he hears the hammer is banging. Ishik, all of a sudden the fly inside of his head was quiet. Amar, so Titus says to himself, Ikatakanta, I guess I just found the remedy, found the medicine. The only way to get this fly to stop knocking around my head is to have somebody bang with a hammer. So he says to himself, I have a good idea. Every day I want you to bring a blacksmith to come and knock away. Let the blacksmith sit there. I'd rather hear the knocking of a hammer than to have a fly knocking around inside of my head. So that's what Titus says. That's the only way to take care of this problem with the fly. If they had a non-Jewish blacksmith who came to knock in the presence of Titus, he paid him $4 to do the job of knocking in front of Titus. But the Israelite, who was a Jewish blacksmith who came to do the job, you're lucky enough that you get to see me in my pain. I'm not going to pay you for that also. You're lucky enough that I'm keeping you alive and that you get to see this. So for 30 days, Titus has this great idea. He's going to do the medication. So he has this person coming every day. A blacksmith comes to his house, knocking away at the hammer, and the fly inside of his head is finally quiet after 7 years. 30 days, the trick works. But from 30 days and on, Kivim the dush. Since the fly got used to the knocking, the fly no longer was responding to the knocking. So this is a very important halacha l'maisa gemara, because from here there are those who want to learn that 30 days is what creates a regilus. 30 days is what creates somebody getting used to something. The same over here, the fly got used to the knocking after 30 days and it no longer reacted the way it originally did. So to be assumed in halacha, often that's the Pichadish writes in Hilchos Nesiyos Kapayim, that if you have somebody, if you have a kohen who has a mum,
he's not able to do the birchbon because people are going to stare at his
mumdaliyat. But let's say a Kohen who was living in the community for 30 days, and everybody's familiar with the mumdaliyat, everybody knows about it already. So again, because you're right, that's not the issue because he's dush.
Nobody's going to stare at him, everybody's used to it already.
Everybody knows he only has three fingers instead of five. Everybody knows there's something different about his body than others. And therefore, 30 days is considered the time that we get used to things. That's the same reason why the Vilna Gaon writes, I believe, that when it comes to Chodesh Elul, we stop blowing the shofar on Erev Rosh Hashanah. So we all think it's because of our Rebbe Sasata, but we're not confusing. So the Sasata is not so foolish, it's not so stupid. He knows how to get us to do all kinds of terrible things. So why is it that all of a sudden we think that we're going to fool him? So the Vilna Gaon writes, that's not the reason. The reason why is because the shofar is used, Uri Shein Shinastan, to inspire us. The shofar is something that wakes us up. But if it's something that we hear perpetually for 30 days, then we're going to get used to it. We're not inspired anymore. Says they're going to go, you have to stop. Before 30 days pass, you have to stop. And then tomorrow, on Rosh Hashanah, it's going to be something that's somewhat new to us, and then we'll be able to take it seriously and be inspired by it. Anyway, that's what the Gemara says. Tani Amar Pinchas Ben Aruba. Ani Ayisi Ben Gili Romi. I was one of the great people who was living in Rome. Ugishanes and Matitas lost his life, and he finally died.
Everybody wanted to know, is Titus crazy? Is Titus, does he really have something in his head, or he just has a mental issue in his head? Does he really have a fly in his head all these years?
So they did an autopsy. When Titus passed away inside, we got a split open his head. We want to see what's going on inside. So the Gemara says, Patsalas Mafla, they knocked open his head. Patsalas Mafla, they found inside. Kitsibur the Mara, they found a big bird. Mishal Shnei Slime, it was a very big measurement. A big bird was growing inside his head. The Maslita Tanz of the Gemara says they had another tradition that when they opened up and did the autopsy on Titus, Kigoz of Hashem and Mishkov Shelish. They found a pigeon that was very big, like a year old pigeon, living inside of his head. Which is an unbelievable story, probably not to be taken literally, but what it means is that he really had his own passion. Amar Abaye, Naktinan, we have a tradition that Pimshon of Hashem, it was a miracle that was done, that the beak of the bird, of the pigeon, was of Nechoshes of copper, it's the part of Shamarzal, and it had iron fingers, and that's why it was knocking so much in his head, not just because he had an insect, an animal in his head, but also because a extra special miracle was done that it would knock even louder and really bother Titus to know that. Kiyar Kamayas, when Titus died, Arma Lahu, so Titus left instructions. He said, L'kiyu Lahu Gavra, I want you to burn my ashes, V'li Baju L'kidni Hashem Yam, I want you to spread my ashes on the seven oceans, on the seven rivers in the world. So it's an amazing thing. Here you have Titus and Rasha destroys the Beis HaMikdash, destroys the Jewish people, and he's afraid at the end of his life, oh my God, what's going to happen when I get up to Shemayim? God's going to punish me. So you know what, I better hide. So why don't you think about that before you destroy the Beis HaMikdash? No, he doesn't think about it. But it's the same thing, we're all like this, right? We'll do plenty of things in our lives, and we say, yeah, whatever, it's fine. We don't realize that God is there, we don't think about the fact. All of a sudden, when people start getting older, they say, oh, yeah, I wish I wouldn't have done this, I wish I wouldn't have done that. It's the same mistake that Titus made. He just took it to an extreme. He destroyed the Beis HaMikdash and then realized. But we also make those kind of mistakes. So Titus says, you know what, I'm going to hide. I'm going to hide, I don't want God to find me, I don't want to get in trouble. So Titus says, I want you to burn all of my remains, I want you to cremate me, and not just do the cremation, I want you to take all the different particles and ashes and spread them all over the world this way. There's no way God will ever find me. He's not going to hide as well as anybody could ever hide. Says the Gemara, side story, Unculus Marcuncus. Unculus Marcuncus is the famous type of Unculus that we have on Chumash. So Bar Akte de Titus Habe. So Unculus, the son of Unculus, was the nephew of Titus. Now he was born as an non-Jew. Unculus is a convert. Unculus was a convert. So Bar Yehiri, Unculus is considering the possibility of converting. You know, it's amazing. If everyone has ever had an opportunity to have discussions, to have a conversation with a convert, it's so inspiring. It's so inspiring because so often the sincerity of why they want to convert is such a living mussar for all of us. You know, if only we were so sincere in our observance, it's incredible. So I was just talking this week with somebody who met with a potential convert. And, you know, you have to ask the convert, are you prepared to keep all the mitzvahs? Do you know anything about the mitzvahs? So they ask the convert, so how do you keep Shabbos? Tell us. When, you know, what happens when Shabbos begins? So the man says, well, Shabbos for me begins when I wake up Friday morning. Shabbos for me begins when I wake up Friday morning. I'm in a totally different frame of mind. I go do all my Shabbos shopping.
I'm in the mood of Shabbos already for Friday morning. And this rabbi said to me after he met with the convert, he said, I wish Shabbos for all of us started on Friday morning. You know, we're all running, we're busy, we're running to work, we're doing all the things we're doing. How many people think about Shabbos on a Friday morning? So the same over here, Rukulis also has such a sincerity, he wants to become here. And I seem to remember also there's an incredible letter by the Piazetzner Rebbe. He was the Eish Kodesh, incredible tzaddik who passed away in the Holocaust. So the Piazetzner Rebbe, if I'm not mistaken, has a letter where he says, you know, he's having an open conversation with God, and he says, if you'll tell me that I should have learned more in my life, it's an impossibility. I learned as much as I possibly could. If you'll tell me that I wish that I was able to daven with more kavana, it's an impossibility. I davened with the utmost kavana I was able to do in my life. So I have no regrets about the way I davened the way I learned. If you'll tell me I wish that I was a better Eved Hashem, there's no such thing. I lived as an Eved Hashem as best as I possibly could. Says the Piazetzner Rebbe, I have one regret in my life, and that is, Rotze Ani Yizkai. The only thing I wish I could have had the opportunity to do is to become a convert. Why? Because the sincerity of a person who comes to the religion on their own, the sincerity of a person who converts and who realizes that their religion is really meaningful, not that they're born into the system and take things for granted, but it's something that they really begin to appreciate on their own, is something that cannot be matched. And that's what the Eish Kodesh wrote in his letter, that he has no regret about the way he served Hashem, but he has a regret over the fact that he never had the opportunity to become a convert on his own, to come to the religion on his own, because that would have been such a powerful experience. That would have given such an appreciation for what the religion is all about, and he felt bad that he didn't have that opportunity to do so. So here the Gemara says about Ukulis, who was the nephew of Titus. So he's considering the process of conversion. Azal Askel Titus to the Giga. So Ukulis decides to bring along his uncle. He brings along Titus in necromancy with magic. So he says to Titus, well, now you're no longer alive, now you're up living in Shamayim. Tell me, Man Chashabahu Lama, who is considered holy, who's considered special in that world? Amalei Yisra. Yeah, I have to tell you, unfortunately, as much as I hate the Jews, but up here, upstairs, they are the ones who are really holy. Ma'ilad Bukebehu. So what do you think? Should I become part of that? Maybe I should be a guy here. Amalei Milai Matishin Lamazakim. They have too many mitzvahs, so there's no way you're going to be able to figure out how to keep all them. Just stay away from them. What you should do is you should go and make them work for you, the Hamas Ratio, and you will be on top. If you make them work for you, then you're going to come out on top. Why? You see, as we just read in Eva, Hayut Sarah HaLarosh, Kalanetzel Yisrael Nasarosh. Anyone who makes the Jewish people serve them is going to go to the top, is going to be considered a very important, powerful person. Why? Again, Tosfos writes in the 7th Chagiga, because this is the dignity of the Jewish people. Even though there are times in history when we need to be punished, there are times in history when we need to be destroyed possibly, there are times in history that we have to go and serve other nations, but God still keeps the dignity of the Jewish people, that we're not just going to fall to nobody, we're going to fall to somebody who's a very important, very prestigious personality. So that's the advice that Titus gives to his nephew, Ukulis, and he says, I don't think you should become a convert, that's too hard, but I do think that you should go ahead and make the Jews work for you, and that will be good for you. Amalei, Daniel, that will be out of the mind. So he says, well, Titus, once I have you here, why don't we have a little discussion? I'm interested to know, what kind of punishment are you getting in the world to come? You know, somebody said to me today, what the Gita said, somebody said, it should remind you of what a fraction of what Gehenna is going to feel like. Well, okay. So anyway, the Gemara says,
So Ukulis asks his uncle Titus, what exactly is your punishment? You destroy the Beis HaMikdash.
What exactly are you being punished? Amalei, he says, that my deposit and option, I ask that after my life I should be burnt and I should be cremated. Because I ask for that, call Yomle every single day, Mechanshi Le Lechidme. God goes around and gathers up my ashes. Vidayile, and God once again judges me. The Kalule, and then they burn me out once again, they cremate my body, Mavadri Asher Yami, and they spread out my ashes all across the world. Exactly what I asked for, that's what I'm getting. Azal Askel Bilminagia. So Ukulis decides, he's still trying to figure out, should I go ahead and become a convert, should I become a gear or not? So the Gemara says he was unsuccessful in his conversation with Titus, so he brings now Bilam down to the world, and he has a conversation with him. Amalei Mat Chashim Ha'ulam. Tell me, Bilam, I know you hate the Jewish people, but who is the most cherished people up in Shemayim? Amalei Yisrael, so he tells him, I'm sorry to say, but it's the Jewish people.
So he asked him back, Ma'ulat, okay, what do you think? Should I become convert? Amalei, lo sidro shlomo v'tavasa palayam. Stay far away from the Jews. It's not going to do you any good to have anything to do with them. Not a good idea. Says the Gemara, Amalei, he is Abu Gavar Benai. What is your punishment bill for all that you did in this world? Amalei, he says to him, Shichas zera rosadas. My punishment is that I am burned every day. They heat up a big pot full of boiling hot semen, and that's what I am burning. What's the significance of that? So some parts say, because Bilam is the one who gave the Esam, gave the idea that they should have the Nosmoah, the women of Moab come and make the Jewish people be involved with them. So therefore, his punishment is, he goes in a pot of Shichva Zera Rosafas. Says the Gemara, Allah gave the Gita the Poshi Yisrael. Then he goes ahead and he brings it along in necromancy, he brings down all the people who are Poshi Yisrael. Amalei Yisrael, Poshi Yisrael, Allah tell me, who is special out in the world to come? Amalei Yisrael. Ma'ala Bukibu, so he asked them, what do you think? Should I become a convert or a lady? Tabasham Jirosh Rasa Losidrosh. You should go along for the ride for the good things that happened to the Jews, but Rasa Losidrosh is not a good idea because they have terrible things that happen to them also. Call them Ageva Hemkiyu and Ageva Nasayan. Anyone who touches the Jewish people, it's as if they are touching their own pupils, which is very painful and is blinding. So therefore he says, not such a good idea. Amalei Dina Lahu Gavar Benai. What is your punishment? The Poshei Yisro, what is your punishment in the world to come? Amalei Bitsoa Rosafas. We are burnt every day in a whole pot full of burning hot soap, burning hot excrement. Da'am Ramar, Kalamad Kadir Chachamim. Those who make fun of the Dina Dirabana, of the Dibri Chachamim, Nidon Bitsoa Rosafas. Their punishment is going to be that they will be burnt in burning hot, a pot of boiling excrement. Tachazi says the Gemara, just take note of the fact, Mabe Poshe Yisrael and Nevi Yomusa'ola. Look at the difference between the Poshe Yisrael, those Jews who didn't do what they were supposed to do, and the Nevi Yomusa'ola of the Yomusa'ola, and those Nevi'im of the Yomusa'ola who serve the Yomusa'ola. Tani Amar Beloze Korei Kamakofa Gidola Shabusha, Shari Siyar Mishrova is Barkatsa, the Hefer is based on the Sarah Sechal. So this was all a big interruption in the middle of the whole story about Kamsa Bar Kamsa. Let's not forget where we started. Kamsa Bar Kamsa, the wrong person was invited to the party. Bar Kamsa was embarrassed, he was thrown out. He goes to the Caesar, tells him, Martin Bach Yudai, the Jews don't like you anymore. He tells him, we're going to test it out. How do we test it? We're going to send the carbon to the Beis HaMikdash. Sends the carbon, Bar Kamsa goes ahead, puts a little moon, Dukin Shalayim, or Nipsa, the sign makes a small moon in the animal, now it is unfit to be brought up to the Beis HaMikdash. Now because of that, everything unfolds, and now the whole Korban comes about. Says the Gemara, Bo Re'eh, come see, come understand, Kama Kofo Shabusha. Look how severe, look how serious it is for a person to be publicly humiliated. Shall we see on Hashbaruch as Bar Kamsa, the Hebrew as Beso, the Sarah as Echal? Because Bar Kamsa was publicly humiliated, and as a result, God allowed for the whole Korban Beis HaMikdash to unfold just because one person was publicly humiliated and nobody stood up for them. It's something to think about. We see it all the time. We have children, we have adults who are humiliated. Often we have children. I think about it a lot. The Israel of Onas Devarim, we think only applies to adults, but Onas Devarim applies to children. We have no right to publicly humiliate a child either. Even sometimes when a child does something wrong, doesn't mean you're allowed to embarrass them in front of their friends, doesn't mean you're allowed to embarrass them in front of other members of the family. You have an obligation as a parent or as an educator to teach them the right way to act, but not at the expense of publicly humiliating them. Something to think about. Public humiliation is something that is a very, very serious transgression, a very serious aveira, as we see from our Gemara, that is really what was the catalyst for the Beis HaMikdash being destroyed, and God actually allowed the plan to go through because he was publicly humiliated. So as we started off before, again, the Rosh feel free, we have another lot and a half to go. So the Gemara says, because of Tarnagolta, because of two chickens, Char of Turmata, that's the reason why the city Turmata was destroyed. Now the Nidhi, because the practice was the Hamikami, Chasim Akala, because when he had a Chasim Akala who were getting married, Mafki Kamayu Tarnagolta, they would put out in front of them two chickens. Why would they put out two chickens in front of the Chasim Akala? Because the significance was to tell the Chasim Kala, you should be as fruitful. You should be able to multiply as much as the chickens are laying eggs, so too you should also have that many children. There was a fleet of Roman soldiers who were passing by a wedding. When they saw these two chickens that were from the road in front of the Chasim Kala, they took away the chickens. And because of that, the people were so offended, they went and they and they attacked the Roman soldiers for getting in the way of these chickens. And Mafunu, they formed them off. Asanar, the Caesar, and they came back and gave a message to the Caesar, Marty Mafunu, look, the Jews have rebelled against you. We had a fleet of members of your infantry, and they were passing through the Jewish camp. Look, the Jews were rebelling. The Jews started rebelling them. So the Caesar came ahead and began a war against the Jewish people. Ahu bar Jeroma. There was an individual in the Jewish community who was from the south. Now, he was able to jump a mile, and he was able to kill people a mile away, and then he would just jump back. Unbelievable feat. So the Gemara says, Shakla Kesa, the Tage, the Caesar knew about this person, and he was afraid. How am I going to be able to fight a war when I know that this guy can just jump in out of nowhere, he can jump in a mile, stab me, and just jump right out? So the Caesar takes off his crown, goes to Amar, he puts it on the ground. Amar, he offers a tefillah to Ribbono Shel Olam. Ribbono Shel Olam Kule, God of the heavens and the earth. Inichalach, lo timser ma'udavra, v'hidei, l'mahuse, v'yad, l'chagav. If you want that I should be destroyed, you can destroy me, but allow it at least to be a war. Don't allow me to go down just by the hands of one person from the south who's able to do this kind of trick. Actually, then, just so happened to be, God answered the prayer of the Caesar. And actually, this magician who was able to jump a mile had some sort of problem in the mouth in the way he was speaking. He said, Hello, Elohim, Hello, Elohim, Zenachtanu. You, God, have abandoned us, and you are not going out to fight with us. Basically, he began to rely on his own power. And he said, I'm going to go out and fight the Caesar on my own. I don't need your God to fight for me. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? What's so bad about saying that? Isn't this a pasuk in Tehillim? And after all, Tehillim was written by David HaMelech. So how can you have a claim against somebody for saying a pasuk in Tehillim? So the Gemara says, David not the Arami. Didn't David say the same thing? So the Gemara answers, no, David, David is saying it as a rhetorical question. Have you left us? Have you abandoned us? Obviously not. But this person wasn't saying it as a rhetorical question. This person was saying it as a fact, as a matter of fact, that God has left us and I'm going to be able to fight the battle on my own. All of this magician went to the Beis Hakisei, Asa Darkona, and a snake came, Shapte the Karkishe, Benachnashi. A snake came and bit him, and he lost his life. Amar, so the Caesar said, I'm so happy that God has answered my prayers. Hold this strongly, Isa Azinga, because God has answered my prayers and not allowed this person to destroy me, Ashab Kinu, I will leave the Jews alone. Shabkinu, so that the Jews of Lazar, is back here, and now all the Jews were partying. They were so happy that the Caesar had lifted the decree against them. Ba'achu l'shasu, they went ahead and ate and drank, and they were celebrating, the Adik Bishragi, and they were lighting candles, Adis Kazi, Bibuyuni, Digishpanka, Bibichu Mila. Until they were able to see, a mile away, they were able to see the reflection of a signet ring a mile away. That's how much celebration there was in this community because the Jews were so happy that the Caesar had now let them go. So the Gemara says, Amar, Mirti, Bechadi, Yudai, the Caesar said, what are they making a joke out of me? They're laughing, they're not just celebrating, they're obviously making fun of me. Hadar, also lies. And now he says, forget it, the decree is back, I'm going to go and destroy them. Amar, Abasi, Rabasi said, Lasmael, Mishliki, Saifa, Ayla, Termata, there are 300,000. Infantry who had swords who came to the city, and they went around and they killed after 3 days and three nights straight. Vahaki said on this side of the mountain, he blew the dinghy. The one side of the mountain was still celebrating over the fact that the Caesar had lifted his decree. They didn't know that now the lift was lifted again, and then they were back to the trouble. They had no idea that there was a tremendous, terrible massacre that was going on the other side of the community. But they had no idea. They were celebrating while the other side of the community was suffering the terrible loss that was going on at the same time. Says the Gemara, mounting on a pasuk in Eichah Berakdeis, Bala Hashem v'malot Hamal, that's called the Osi Yaakov, Ki Yazar Aben Amar Yochanan, Eilu Shishim Bibu Ayaros. These are the 60,000 cities, Shahayil Yanei Hamelach Bahar Hamelach, that Yanei Hamelach ran in his capital. The Amar of Yudah Amar Hasi, Shishim Bibu Ayaros, there are 60,000 cities, and every single one of those 60,000 cities had 600,000 people. Plus, Mishalosh had separate three of them. Shahai Rabbi Flavi Kiosk and Tsarayim, that had over 1 million people. Elu hey, what are the three cities? Karbish, Karsha, Alai, Karsha, Karai. Karbish, why is it called the bad city? Bish means bad in Aramaic. The Lo Yami, Besa, Lushisa. The reason why it's considered a bad city was because they did not allow people to be hosted in that city. Karsha, Alai, why is it called Karsha, Alai, the city of blacksmiths? Shahaisa, Karsasa, Minshah, Alai, because that's how they made their Karsasa in that city. Everybody was blacksmiths. Farah Shraya, why are they called the city? The Shraya means Dalit and Zion, sometimes in Aramaic, are interchangeable. So Zafar means a male. So why was it called the city of the males? Amar Yochman Shayim Shaseim Yolos Zachar Mechila, because all the women used to give birth to a boy first. The Yolos became about Rama, and then they had a girl. The Poskos, and that was it. They had a boy and a girl, and then they wouldn't have children anymore. Amar Lula, the Didi Chazini Arula. So Lula says, what are you talking about? How can you say there are millions of people in all these cities? I saw these towns. The sheep in Ramosa County, Lomaxic, it doesn't even hold 600,000 reeds, blades of grass. So how can you tell me there were millions of people living there? It couldn't even hold blades of grass. What are you saying? It's not true. It's an exaggeration. Amalei, I'm Sanuki, I'm Hanina Shkrum, what do you think? He's lying? Amalei, no. Eretz Tzvi Ksiva. It says Eretz Yisrael is described as the Eretz Tzvi. Why is Eretz Yisrael called the Eretz Tzvi? Because Matzvi, just like a gazelle. Edo Oro Masik Esesoro. After you strip the hides out of the gazelle or the deer, and you try to fit everything back into the animal, you're not going to be able to. It stretches because of the animal. Apesoro Ein Oro Masik Esesoro. It doesn't really make sense why it fits. It's stretched out. After Esesoro, so did Esesoro. It's not Shiosh from other ones. Jewish people are living there. Rapha, it stretches out and makes room for them. With Masha Ego Shemalei, when Jewish people are not inhabiting Eretz Yisrael, Gabba, it becomes smaller in the streets. Rabbi Yirika, Chalkiyah, Rabbi Chalkiyah, Rabbi Chalkiyah, Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Chia, Rabbi Yasuka, Rabbi Yadda. These three Amoran were sitting with one another. Adi, he said, Yidid, the Shamilei, Milsa, the Farsa, and Hanayah, Shalom, Sarayim, Leiva. If anyone has ever heard anything about the city, Farsa, and Hanayah, Shalom, Sarayim, he should stop, he should say the story. Pasa, Hanayah, Yadda, Amar, one of the Gabba, he said, Maisa, Barbas, Barbas, Sasa. There's a terrible story in this town of a couple that was engaged in Nashu the Bain Uwas Kaham. So the terrible story was not that they got engaged. The terrible story was that there was a couple that got engaged, and now they are captured by the non-Jews. Did he see him Zelazet? And the non-Jews said that we have captured the two of you, now we're going to make you marry each other. Amrelo, so the girl who was engaged to the boy said, I beg of you, Al Tigabi, don't touch me. She'ein li ksuba mimei, we never officially got married, I don't have a ksuba from you. V'lo nagava ad yom boso, and they did not touch one another, even though they were really technically husband and wife, they were engaged to each other. Lo nagava, he did not touch her ad yom boso. U'kishameis, and when this boy died, Amar lahen, she said to the public, siftu osobi, she gave him an unbelievable hesed, she'pikbei b'gitzro yosef yosef. Because he is even more strong, he is even more self-controlled and restrained than Yosef HaTzadik. Why he would be Yosef? Because the story of Yosef and Potiphera, Lo Havi Al HaShayim, that was a one-time story that he was enticed by Potiphera and he didn't give in his impulses, and he gets a lot of reward. But this person called Yom Yoma every day. He was sitting in the same room as I was. Bones were captured by the non-Jews, we were thrown into a room together, and yet he held himself back, he restrained himself, and he didn't give in. He never touched me for the rest of his life. Vilu Yosef, number two, Yosef, la b'chalamita. Yosef was not placed into a bed with a woman. B'hai b'chalamita, we were put into one bed to be together for the rest of our lives, and he never touched me. And number three, Vilu Yosef, la ishto. Yosef was put into a challenge where it wasn't even his wife, but b'ha ishto, this was his wife, and still he stayed away from her. And therefore he said, this was a very great tzaddik, you should give him a very incredible hesed. Pasach Hidat Ma'amar, the other one said, I have another story. Ma'isa Yamdu, Arvayim Budiyas Medina. There was a time in this city, in Mitzrayim, that there were 40 measures of whatever it was, of food, that were able to be sold for one dinar. Nasa Hashar Mudiyah Ahas. Now all of a sudden, the economy shook a little bit. Ubatu Maso, so everybody was wondering, why is the economy down? Why is money not worth what it used to be worth? So, Baku and Masa, they went and did an investigation, and they found out, they found out that there was a father and his son that had illicit relationships on Yom Kippur. And they brought them to the local Basin, and they gave them the death penalty, the Chazar Mashal and Kavlan, because they got rid of this terrible story from the community, because they put them to death, all of a sudden the economy went back to the place where it was supposed to be before. Pasachin and Amran had a third one down, and he said a story. I thought it was a story of somebody who should not stand the issue of the Garsha. It was a story of somebody who wanted to divorce his wife, but Isaac Suba Saruba, and their Suba wasn't exorbitant amount of money, and he wasn't able to afford it. But a person can't just divorce the wife without paying the Suba. He has an obligation to his wife. That's what he promised. So what's he going to do? Ma'asa. So he was a very nasty Jew. So what did he do? Halach v'ziman eshes v'inav. He invites all of the people who worked in his house, all of the servants, to come to his house to hachila v'hishkan, and he gives them to eat, he gives them to drink. Shichron, and they all get drunk. V'hishkivan al mita atas. He puts them all to bed in one of the beds in his home. V'hevi lovan beitza, and he puts the white part of the egg, the hito the egg, and he spills it out onto the sheets of the bed. The hamla hamedim, and he has people watching the brother Bezdin, and he comes and presents the sheet to the Bezdin. He says, look, there must have been my wife, must have been sleeping with somebody else, because look, there are people who are watching, and there are a lot of people in the bed, and look, there's some white residue on the bed. Hayah Sham Zaki Nachami Talmidei Shammai Hazaki. So there was one person in the Bezdin who was no man's fool. He was a Talmud of Shammai Hazaki and Baba Ben Huta Shemal. His name was Baba Ben Huta. Amar Lahem, he says, Kachmu Kablani Shammai Hazaki, and I'm not going to fall for this trick. I'm going to do a little bit of an investigation, an experiment. Lo Ben Beitza Solim in our art. Could be a trick in your wife. If it's really a egg, then the reaction when we put a heat to it will be one way. Meshich Lazer Adof Min Ar. But if it's real semen, because your wife had a relationship with somebody else, then the reaction will be very different. Babku Matsu Kidvarab, they did the experiment and it turned out that the whole thing was a fake. They have a Yula Bezin, they brought the husband to the local Bezin, the Loku, and they gave him lashes. They flogged him, they Bubu, Subasa, remember, and they made him pay his wife Suba because he did a terrible setup to his wife and he tried to be dishonest to get himself out of paying Suba, and the Bezin did not falter. Amalei, Abai, Rabbi Yosef. So, these three stories sound like terrible stories, but when you take it in context, you have a tremendous community, and you have only three terrible stories that have gone out, means the rest of the community is very righteous and very pious. So the Gemara says, and not only that, if whenever they had something wrong, they took care of it right away, they killed the person right away, took away their life, and now the problem is no longer, so that means that the rest of the community really stands for honesty and for integrity. So the Gemara says this. Oh, yeah, after that, Tzadikim Kuli Hai, since they were such great Tzadikim, my time at Yamash, why were they punished? Why were they wiped out? Amalei, he said, Bisham Dilagi Abba La Yerushalayim. It's because they didn't take the Churban of Yerushalayim seriously enough. The Sid Simchas Yerushalayim, Yilu Ba Kala Abel, Sisu Itamasos Kala Hamasablim Aleh. Since, unfortunately, they were not taking the Churban of Yerushalayim seriously enough, that's why they ended up ultimately losing their lives. What time are they locking up? Another 20 minutes? Is that too long? Okay, try. Says the Gemara, Asaka Nevispek Chara Beita. Decided because of the sign of a carriage, Beita was assured. The Habi Nehigi, now the pressure's up. The Habi Nehigi, Ki Habi Misyal Adiyuta. The practice was that when a child was born, Shasli Arza, they would plant a cedar, and you look at when a girl was born, Shasli Teresa, they would plant a different kind of cedar tree. The Chiyavi Mitzvu, when they would get married, Kaisalu, was such a beautiful practice. They would cut down the wood that was planted at the time that they were born. But after you know, they would make a chuppah out of the trees that were planted at the time when the couple was actually born. Yumahad one day out of the Chalpa, Barley and Kesar. One day the daughter of the Caesar is passing by on the road. Itfar Sakhir Rizbek, and the side of her chariot was broken. Katsu Arza Ba'ayi Lasso, that she went and she cut down a tree innocently from the forest nearby. And she put it, and she used it as a replacement for the side of her chariot. Asu Nafalayu, and the Romans were so, I'm sorry, the Jewish people were upset. What do you mean? How do you cut down that tree? That tree waiting for the young lady to get married. You can't cut that down. So they started out with this daughter of Caesar. Also, I'm relating the case of Marley about your dead. Well, Caesar, look, the Jews started out with your daughter. Also, Elias, the Caesar, came and started a war with the Jewish people. 80,000 chariots of war should never pursue the crown of Baker that entered into the city of Baker Bishashu at the time that they were conquering the city of Baker. And men, women, and children were all killed out. Shahalat Dama bin Nafaliyam Bel, until there was so much blood, such excessive blood from that town, that it went into the Yama Gadol, into the Great Sea, Shamatamar Mega Saint Krova. He said that wasn't so far away from the city of Beitar. Says the Gemara, Rafoka Isabel, it was a mile away, which means there was blood flowing through the streets into the Yama Gadol. Tabanar Ledger Gadolomer. Shnei Nafal Yesh Bikas Yadayim. There are two streams of water in this place called Bikas Yadayim. Echa Moshach Elah, Echa Moshach Elah. One goes one way, one streams the other way, one flows the other way. B'shirah Chachamim Shnei Chalakimayim Ve'echadah. And the Chachamim went and measured and they said because of how much blood was spilled in the city of Beitar, there are only two-thirds of that stream is water, and there is one-third of the stream of water is now blood. In Masnita Tana, we have another tradition. Sheva Shaman Basir Obi Muhammad Karmen Dam Shadisar Lozel. The Nazis were able to sustain their fields for 7 years without using fertilizer because they were able to use the blood from the Jewish people who were killed in the city of Beitar. Which gives you a little bit of perspective of how much destruction there was at the time when Beitar was destroyed. If it's able to sustain fertilizing fields for 7 years straight, that means that it was a real terrible destruction. We're on the page that says 114 on top. Amar of Kibar Amar of Yeshua ben Parfa. Safli Zakanecha Me'anshe Yushalayim. One of the elders of Yushalayim told me, the Bika Zu, in this Bika, which means in this valley, Harab Nebuzaradan Rav Tabachan. Nebuzaradan, who was the chief executioner, killed Masayim Va'achas Esrei Rebo. He killed 2,110,000 people. Of Yerushalayim, in Yerushalayim, Harab Kishin Va'arba Rebo, he killed 940,000 people. Al-Evan Achas, on one stone, Al-Shahalach, Daman Benagam, Daman Shazachariah. Until he killed so many people, their blood was flowing through the streets, until it met up with the blood of Zachariah. Now we know the story about Zachariah. Zechariah was one of the Nevi'im who was trying to give the Jewish people Musar. And in the end, the Jewish people were so upset by Zechariah's affront to them, by the fact that Zechariah was trying to give them Musar, that the Jewish people ended up killing Zechariah himself. So the blood over here from the city of Yerushalayim came and met up with the blood of Zechariah and Havikam Marta. And they found Ashkepay, who was around the family of Zechariah and Havikam Marta, at the Selah. He saw that the blood of Zechariah was bubbling over. Amar my high, turns to the Jewish people. He says, what's going on here? Why is the blood that's bubbling over? It looks like there's fire on me. Amar lei. So they said, nah, nothing to be worried about. Kohanim, Dam Zachim Shamash. The Kohanim said, nah, nothing, don't worry. It's not nothing significant. That's just the blood from the Karbanos that we had in the base of English. They lied to him. I see Dam Zachim. So he says, really? We're going to shut an animal later. We're going to see, is that really what blood of an animal looks like? Is that the reaction that it evokes when it's lying on the ground? He says, you guys are lying, you can tell me the truth, good, but not, but if not, I'm going to comb your bodies with iron combs. I'm going to destroy all of you. So they say, look, what we tell you, we're going to be honest. We have a Navi by the name of Zechariah, the Avi Kamucha, he was giving us Musar, he was telling us how we should live. And we couldn't take it anymore, so we got up and we killed him. But God seems not to let us get away with it because it's been so many years and the blood of Zechariah is still bubbling over as if it was just taken, as if Zechariah was just killed. So this Caesar says, you know what? I'm sorry, I'm talking about the Buzaradan here. The Buzaradan says, I'm going to avenge the blood of Zechariah. You did a terrible thing to him. I'm going to avenge the blood. What am I going to do? I see Sanhedrin Yodos, Sanhedrin Kitani. He brings all of them in the of the generation. And he kills all of them right over the blood of Zechariah Balonach, but still the blood will not stop boiling. Then he says, well, God still must not be happy. Bafurim Basulos. He brings all the young boys and girls, Kapil Gavei, Balonach. And still, even though he brings all the teenage boys and girls, the boys and girls were all brought, and he kills all of them, below enough, but still the blood does not stop boiling. I see Tinoka Shabbos Rabban,
Then he brings all the young children, Katali Lavei Velonach, and he kills all of them, but still it would not stop. Amalei, so now he calls out, he says, Zachariah, Zachariah. Nebuzaradan himself calls out to the blood of Zachariah and says, Tovim Shebahem Ibalitem. Look, you have lost all the greats of the Jewish people. Look, look what's happening. I just killed all the boys, all the girls, all the Tamei Chacham, all the Tzadikim. Nichalach Tavdin Lukuli, you want me to continue to massacre all, every last Jew that there is? Kidi Amalei, once Nebuzaradan said that, Nach, now, the blood calmed down and the blood stopped boiling over. Bahi Shaita, but now that Nebuzaradan went ahead and killed out all the Jewish people, here Chula B'dayto. Once again, a little too late, now he decides, oh, what did I just do? Look, I killed out all the Jewish people. I killed out all the Tamei Chachamim. I killed out all the boys, all the girls, all the children. So he says, hey, maybe I did something that wasn't really proper. So all of a sudden he starts to think of tshuva. Amar, he says, Uma imal nefesh achas ka. If God is so upset about one life that was taken, and God takes it so seriously that Zechariah's blood was killed, imagine what my punishment is going to be. God's going to punish me forever for what I did to the Jewish people. So, Arak, Azil, so he gets up, runs away. Shadar Shtar Patarta, he sends a will to his family, Bebese, the Igayer, and he becomes a convert. Okay, maybe we'll stop here, because unfortunately we... But, yeah, the alarm's going to go off, so I don't want to make...